one of the things that led me to these three chapters in Nehemiah for consideration for the couple of days that we're going to be together is the realization of the fact that our enemy, the enemy of our souls, is very real. As living as this book is, and as real as this book is, our enemy is just as real. And we've talked in previous years, and we took up earlier chapters of Nehemiah, about how the enemy would hinder the work of the people of God as they came out of captivity to build the walls and the gates. But we didn't really get as far as some of these chapters. And one of the things that I was thinking about is how the enemy was very smart, and how he knows that when the gates are open and the people are in the right place that they will be in, the natural thing to do next is to gather and to assemble together. And upon gathering and assembling together, the word of God would be open. And upon the word of God being open, because Satan knows the fact that this book is living and real, and has an effect on the hearers when we allow it to do so. So Satan knows all that, and one of the things that I think that he was working through Sanballat and the likes of other peoples that we have covered in previous chapters to hinder the gates and the walls from being built is because he knows that he's trying to hinder the word of God from being open. Because he knows the tremendous effect that it has had on so many lives. And the three things that I think we want to focus on in these three chapters are outlined this way. Hopefully some of you have had a chance to read the pre-thoughts that we had here in the outline. But we, as we considered different topics for this year, one of the things that came to mind is the realization that I need to realize three things. One, that this book that I hold in front of me, that I've once professed, I believe, and still obviously do, made this confession that I believe in the Lord Jesus and the fact that this book that he's given us is the inspired word of God, that this is the authority of my life for every day, for all days, every situation, all situations. And that if the authority hasn't changed, we live in a world where there's always something new and something fresh being drawn up by man. There's always a new Christian's bestseller. And somebody comes up with greater ideas than the person before. And then that person now thought or thinking becomes the authority and becomes the way of the way people would think. And yet, we know that this book is God's word to us for today and for every day. And so we have to recognize that this is the authority. And to make this commitment to the Lord that, yes, I'm going to follow what this book says because I know it has the answer for every problem, for every situation, for every question that I have. This book has the answer. And so the word of God has to be the standard because it hasn't changed. One of the things that we're going to notice when we look at these three chapters is this emphasis on the law of Moses. The law of Moses. That even though that law had been given thousands of years earlier, perhaps, or at least over 1,000 years earlier, that it hadn't changed. And God's standards and God's expectation from his people had not changed. What was good for Moses was good for these people here in this day. And so the first thing that we'll cover as we look at chapter 8 is that the people have now come out of captivity. They've gathered together. They've rebuilt the walls in spite of the opposition, I think, in 52 days or so. And now they assemble together. The last verse in chapter 7, verse 73, is maybe where we'll start. And we'll read verse 73 through we'll just read chapter 8 just to get the benefit of the whole chapter. But this first chapter shows that they found the book of the law. And having found the book of the law, it had a lasting impression on their lives for a period of time. As we go through chapter 8 and chapter 9 and chapter 10, we're going to see that the effect of having the word of God open before them and the Spirit of God being able to use that to reach their hearts and to show them things perhaps in their lives that were not right, that it had a lasting effect and it had an impression. And I wonder if that's the one word that we might leave this few days that we're together with, that the word of God would have an impression on my soul, on my heart, that I will recommit myself to the, whatever the word of God says. Because the Israelites had once upon a time, long time ago, said, whatever God says, we will do. And quickly they fell apart, they fell off from that. But here in chapter 8, they find the word of God. And they recognize as to how far they had fallen from what the word of God said for them to do. And then when we get to chapter 9, having realized that they had fallen short, and we would all confess that there are things in my life, and I'm sure that there are things in your life, that upon examination, self-examination, we would recognize that in light of the word of God, there are areas that I perhaps have fallen short on. And these people did that. When the word of God was open, the living word was open, the Spirit of God took those things and showed them that there were things that they needed to do that they were not doing for a long period of time. So chapter 9 is really a lot about confession. And we see that they're confessing for a good portion of the day. They obviously had a long list of things to confess, and I've always been impressed by the fact that it says they've confessed for a good portion of the day. They were confessing their sins, and I think about my own life and failures that I may have. I rarely stay a quarter of the day confessing anything. Usually I'll find a couple things and I'll say those things are not right and I'll confess them before the Lord. But these people recognize how fallen short. That's the tremendous impact that the word of God had upon their souls. But they confess those things, and they now in chapter 10, they rededicate themselves to the Lord. And there are several things that they rededicate themselves to that I think if we look at them are very, very practical for our days today. They rededicate themselves to the house of God, to service of the house of God. They rededicate themselves to assemble together and to not forsake the assembling of ourselves as we're told in the New Testament. They rededicate themselves to give the Lord his right due, the right portions that are due to the Lord. And they rededicate themselves to what we would say is the Lord's day, that day is wholly reserved to the Lord. And today, so many things have come in and occupied and filled that day that it's become the Lord's hour or the Lord's morning or at best the Lord's, you know, morning and afternoon. But we have the Lord's day. And so the people of God recognize in that day, having been exposed to the word of God, having had it made an impression upon their souls, and having realized how far they had fallen short, they've realized that they now have an opportunity to say, we want to change some things in our life. And I wonder if that might be the goal of these few days together. That not only would the word of God have an impression upon my life, but it would allow me to see things that may be not right in my life that I would correct. But I would go beyond that. I would confess those things before the Lord. And then I would be able to go on to realize that I need to rededicate myself. We're not going to be making oaths because we know that in covenants, because as quickly as they made those covenants, they broke them again. And so we are under grace, not under the law. But having said that, we want to be able to realize that we want to make a recommitment to the Lord, a recommitment to say, this is the authority of my life. I don't care what my friends say. I don't care what is the new thinking today, that this is the authority for how I would govern my life in every situation. And then I would rededicate myself back to the Lord. Rededicate, perhaps there's things that I've taken away that are really His, that I've taken away. And they also, one thing I want to stress too, is that they dedicate themselves, that they realize that they were entangled with the world. And they said, we have to separate from those things. And so these are just some of the things that that in chapter 10 we'll get to, Lord willing, in the next couple of days, that they recommit themselves to the Lord. And I think that might be our goal. So again, in chapter 8, they have the word of God open. And it exposes things. The word of God is living. In chapter 9, they confess their faults. They realize that while they were unfaithful, God remains faithful always. And they recount all of the things that how God had helped them through the years that they were unfaithful. And then in chapter 10, they, having recounted God's faithfulness, they recommit themselves back to the Lord. But again, before we start, just to stress the importance of the realization that we have a real live enemy that would seek to do anything to hinder this word from being open. And he will bring in whatever he wants and will be able to use sometimes the most mundane things to occupy our time. And that we come to the word of God and we're tired, we're exhausted, it's the end of the day. And then we don't get the benefit of it. And then it doesn't make an impression. It doesn't show us the things we need to correct. And then we don't make a recommitment to the Lord. And so we have to recognize that the enemy is working to stop not just the walls from being opened, from being rebuilt, and the gates from being rebuilt, but the people from gathering and the word of God from being opened. And so with that, maybe somebody can just read from verse 73, and just for the benefit of getting, you know, the whole chapter, maybe we can just read all of chapter 8, and we'll probably just get through the first maybe 6 or 7 verses or so.